Americans to look at who they were and where they were going. Chapter 1. In with the Comet. There comes a time in every rightly constructed boy's life when he has a raging desire to go somewhere and dig for treasure. Mark Twain. Samuel Langhorne Clemens, the man who became famous as Mark Twain, was born in a two-room house in Florida, Missouri. The date was November 30th, 1835. Halley's Comet, which appears only once every 76 years, streaked across the sky that night. Was the brilliant light a sign? Sam's mother, Jane, hoped so. Her little Sammy had arrived 2 months early. He was so small and frail that she feared he wouldn't live. In those days, many children, including three of Sam's six brothers and sisters, did not live past childhood. But Sam Clemens survived, and he gave his mother a good deal of trouble in the process. In 1839, Sam's family moved to the larger town of Hannibal, Missouri. Sam's father, John Clemens, was a lawyer and shopkeeper. John hoped to leave hard times behind. While John struggled to support the family in Hannibal, Sam struggled to pay attention in school. He attended Mrs. Hoare's log schoolhouse on Main Street. Sam was a terrific speller and loved to read, but he was restless and excitable. He often broke the rules or played hooky. Hannibal was a river town between two bluffs that overlooked the mighty Mississippi River. Sam called it a boy's paradise. He and his friends would sneak away to an island in the river to fish, swim, and smoke corncob pipes. Other days, they played in the woods. They pretended to be pirates, Indians, and Robin Hood and his merry men. There were also caves downriver where the boys went looking for treasure. It was exciting and scary to explore dark underground passages. Sam once got lost in the caves, and he almost drowned in the river 9 times. "You gave me more uneasiness than any child I had," his mother told him. Sam later said he thought she enjoyed it. The Mississippi River brought the world to Sam Clemens's doorstep. In the days before cars or cross-country railroads, the river was one of the country's major highways. More than anything, Sam and his friends wanted to be steamboatmen. The great white ships were almost as majestic as the river itself. When Sam heard the call, "Steamboat a-comin'," he and nearly everyone else in town hurried to the wharf. Sam couldn't take his eyes off the handsome boats or the rough-talking roustabouts who loaded and unloaded their cargo. Hannibal, Missouri, was a rough place in the 1840s. Missouri had been a state since 1821. Still, it hadn't lost its frontier flavor. When Sam was 9, a shooting took place right outside his house. Another time, he came upon the body of a man who'd been murdered, and he saw a slave killed by a white overseer who simply disliked the way the slave had done a job. Slavery was part of Sam Clemens's youth. Hannibal was like most places in the South. White people found ways to excuse the fact that nearly 3 million blacks were slaves. Slaves belonged to their owners, just like a horse or a dog. "In my schoolboy days," Sam would remember, "I was not aware there was anything wrong about slavery. The newspapers said nothing against it. The churches said God approved of it." When Sam's own father had the money, he bought or rented black slaves to help with house and farm work. The slaves Sam knew were also his playmates and friends. Sam spent many weeks each summer at his Uncle John Quarles's farm. There, he and his cousins spent evenings in the slave cabins. Sam especially loved listening to a man called Uncle Dan'l, who told folk tales and ghost stories by the fire's flickering light. Sam never forgot the way Uncle Dan'l told a story, the words he used, the rhythm of his speech. His voice would one day inspire Sam's own stories.